Just like before, there's a group of people, a small, up to 20 people, who are very active to, as they indicated somewhere in some post on social media, that they would like to take over the organization platform. And again, some appearances in the media for them talking about what they called issues and what they are trying, what's happening, why Platform for Progress is bad, why I am bad, and why they are talking about it in the media. And it is interesting. The media like the negative stories, shocking stories, and they don't care whether it is actually, they don't care whether it is truth or not. It's simply that somebody will read it, and by the time the issue rebuttal of some sort, and it's too late. People already think it is true, whatever is published. And so we decided not to do anything, simply do our thing, that we continue to solidify our organization on the inside, and get ready for the elections in 22. Decisions, how to find the right candidate for all the positions, and so on. So that brief vacation was actually needed just to get your mind off of those things. Today I just came back from town hall meeting in Tuzla. A day before, we had a town hall meeting in Kozarac near Banja Luka in Republika Srpska entity. The first one in Kozarac was about the importance of Republika, I'm sorry, not Republika Srpska. It is the name, it's not a republic, it's part of Bosnia and Herzegovina, but in its name they have the word republic. And therefore we always pronounce it in Bosnian because it's the name and not the political status. So Republika Srpska, the importance of Republika Srpska for Bosnia and Herzegovina, and to make it successful because it is part of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and for the benefit of all the citizens. The one in Tuzla was about Canton, Tuzla Canton, and what is it that needs to be done for it to be more successful. This whole series of town hall meetings we labeled as through discussions to. How do you pronounce? I'm trying to figure out how to translate it the best way. Through discussions to solutions, or yeah, that's roughly it. Simply talking to people about the problems in their communities, trying to figure out a pattern that might show up, that might reveal itself as we talk to the citizens. That might then help us define our program in terms of suggested solutions for the country, should we and when we get the opportunity to be in power, so that people know what it is that we are planning to do. Right now we are going through the refinement of the document that's a compilation of the suggestions by our expert teams in various areas. We will put it in one well-defined program in medicine, health, in healthcare, in education, in economy, agriculture, culture, sports, and so on. And these discussions with citizens are helping us filter that came from the expert teams. We also visit often go to visit companies, and yesterday visited two companies in close to the city of Tuzla. Very interesting. There's a company that can design and build power facilities like hydro power dams that are built in rivers, so to produce electricity using the power of water. Sometimes they do it using renewable elements like wind or solar power plants. They also build buildings, and it is interesting that they build things that the most sophisticated civil engineering companies in the world use. They produce the control, what do they call it, control panels of medium size and small size for companies, for buildings, for dams, for whatever. And really, when they talk about the companies themselves, it's the roster of who is who in that sector of industry. And after that, we went to, they have about 500 employees and 100% export everything they do. The subsidiary, that's about 20% of what they do, that build buildings, office buildings, apartment buildings, condo buildings. They obviously work inside the country. The second company somehow complete motors or engines for subways or for trains or for anything that is based on electric power, but it is in some units of public transportation. And also it's 100% export, couple of hundred employees, and with partners in Germany and France, or in sales in France and Germany and United States and United Kingdom and Russia, and again 100% export. And as we talked about Tuzla Canton yesterday, it became obvious that they have, in the canton, there are several cities that are really advanced in manufacturing, whether it's metal based or wood based, but it's manufacturing of products. And they are very successful. Tuzla itself has wonderful healthcare facilities, good universities, but they don't have the developed infrastructure, transportation infrastructure, highways, railroads. That is something that the country itself, or at least the entity called Federation, should pay attention to. Finally, one of their problems is also the distribution of income based on indirect taxes like sales. And apparently Sarajevo gets much more, Sarajevo Canton, and some coefficient is 2 and Tuzla gets 1. So these guys get twice as much as a Tuzla Canton, and they simply are not happy with that. And now there is a change in law that is being planned to change the ratio to 1.5, one coefficient to 1.5. So they were asking me what is it that I would suggest, and my suggestion was that the criterion should be those who produce that money should see that money given back to them in terms of the indirect taxes, so that they can help develop in a just way what they earned, pay their share of loans that the, or obligations that the entity has to pay that it, loans that it took for the development of the whole entity called Federation, and perhaps set aside a part that will go toward the development of undeveloped cantons. Anyway, one thing that happens is that as you prepare for these town hall meetings, you have to learn a lot about the place where you're going to, the people who are there, the problems they are facing on a daily basis. Engage your expert teams, advisory boards, and ask them if they have suggestions. And luckily, the outcome of all of that should be that we have informed policies, good solutions, and that we understand the pain that people feel on a daily basis. It is interesting that these town hall meetings have demonstrated the fact that that's something we excel in, something that we're good at, and something that we learn a lot from in terms of conversations with people on a daily basis. It is clear that we need to do more of that, and we need to find a way to reach the people of this country and convey in a succinct and understandable way what it is that we represent, the values, the principles, the programs, the ideas, ideologies that are required to change this country. We're going to plan more of those town hall meetings. We also have to finish the process of having the assemblies in three of the main regions, Sava, Bosnia, and Neretva, to have elections for the person who will lead those regions. It could be that they will confirm the current ones, or it could be that they will elect new ones. We also have to finish all the disciplinary processes that we have inside. We have to fully finish the convention that we that was interrupted due to the lack of quorum. And in the end, probably we'll have to organize a congress where we will have some elect some of the key officials for which we have only people in interim roles until they can be elected through the Congress. While working at the same time, working on understanding political situation in the country, and do we need to, and can we or should we form coalitions, pre-election coalitions with anybody. Also, we have to figure out the candidates for the elections and to work on the financial situation. So it is clear what we need to do. Just we have to make sure that we have the right people to do it with. And this is interesting times in the development of a party. And we are going through our share of successes and challenges from within. And the fact that we have a really completely, totally democratic system for which Bosnia-Herzegovina is not ready, and whose interpretation of democracy is, well, my opinion counts, and it has to be like as I say, and that is kind of a problem that we have to deal with, and hopefully in the future at some point. A new version of bylaws will be adopted that will allow us to grow in further, but that's going to be after we have a chance to talk to all the members and take all of their considerations in account, and then hopefully that will eventually allow us to move a little bit faster. So nothing new much. It's really the time of vacations here, and a lot of people on the coast in Turkey and in Croatia are traveling throughout Europe, so it's pretty slow. a big deal. It's very hot outside and it's hard to move around without air-conditioned cars. One thing that actually changed the situation about it drastically is that the outgoing high representative, the person from the European Union that is in charge of Bosnia and Herzegovina and can, if he or she deems so, can remove anybody from position in public life, can introduce new laws, can strike down other laws that deemed to be detrimental to the success of the country. And recently, Mr. Incko, the outgoing high representative, issued a decree in which he introduced changes to an existing law that talks about punishment of those who are acting illegally against the state or the people. And this change has to do with the denial of genocide. This change basically says that the denial of genocide or any action that indicates that glorifies the perpetrators of the crime will be punishable by law, I believe, between 3 and 5 years. Mm-hmm. And there were 8 days that were given. A grace period of 8 days, which expired, I believe, a couple of days ago. After which, people will be punished for talking about genocide as if it never happened, or denying genocide, or putting up pictures glorifying the perpetrators or those accused of their role in conducting genocide in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Everybody is waiting to see now is to see whether they will implement the law, whether those who will continue continue to promote such ideas, whether they will be punished indeed by the law according to this law that was just introduced. It is very interesting because of the timing, the new high representative coming in pretty soon, Monday, Tuesday, and it is, everybody expects this to be a new day, and if in Bosnia and Herzegovina, but it only depends on the ability of the government to carry out the implementation of the law. The situation is pretty tense in the country because of the almost unified position of politicians in Republika Srpska that they are uniformly almost against the change, against the law that was introduced. But we will see what it means for the government itself. One of the quick reactions of the politicians, mainstream and the opposition politicians in the Republika Srpska, was to withdraw the participation of their representatives in the national government. And so basically they are getting money, but they are doing nothing. And there was one immediate consequence of that. In the city of Neum in Bosnia-Herzegovina, there was a forest fire. In order to use the armed forces of Bosnia-Herzegovina to help with extinguishing the fire, the presidency of Bosnia-Herzegovina had to unanimously agree to use the armed forces for that purpose. And Mr. Dodik, the representative of Republika Srpska, or Serbs from Republika Srpska, in that, and it should be really of everybody, but if not there, then the Serbs in Bosnia and Herzegovina. He decided not to participate in that decision, and thus preventing it from being unanimous, thus preventing the armed forces to participate in extinguishing the fire, thus allowing the fire to spread more quickly, endanger some lives. And so we're in a situation now where the actions of politicians are going as far as endangering the lives of the citizens. So there will be numerous other consequences of that behavior. We have in the past 10 days or so issued several statements on some issues, including the welcoming of the new law, indicating that the country should have been strong enough to do that ourselves rather than waiting for a foreign representative to introduce that peace, that everybody else in the civilized world would welcome and accept. So we try to stay relevant with our press statements. Sometimes they carry out those and inform the public of those. Sometimes they simply don't care. Anyway, not much happening, but it is a slow time because it's summer. And we are trying to do our best to get two people on the ground. I think that is something that we learned, that the ground game, getting to all the people, informing them about who we are so that they're at least informed, and then they can decide who they want to vote for. That's it.
Well, who is responsible for overseeing this declaration by Mr. Insko regarding if there are violations, who's the so-called cop that says and points it out? I hope it's not the people in charge that do it that have to enforce it upon themselves.
Well, we don't have an equivalent of the Supreme Court. What we have is something that is called the Constitutional Court, the court that interprets the Constitution of Bosnia-Herzegovina. They are the ones that will probably, in the end, will have to make many decisions. But who will bring those charges to them will bring the attorneys. We don't have also an equivalent to general attorney general of the country. But we do have the council of judges, that is, that that can act as attorneys of the state, and the word here is tužilaštvo, those who press the charges. And so in the United States, that's a district attorney or something, and so we have that to the level of the district, the Brčko district, the entities, cantons. And so that can be done at any level, depending on the scope of action. But it is also always that judicial council that is responsible for protecting the interest of the state and making sure that the law and justice prevail in this country. So it is going to be, for example, district attorney that will be at appropriate level that's going to press charges. So everybody's saying we will see whether this is a new day for Bosnia through the actions of the judicial system, whether this law will actually, whether it is for real, because if it is going to be implemented, then things are much better. If it is going to stay just a bunch of letters on paper, then it will be even worse, because it will show to the other side that this is just for show and they are free to do as they please. So, see.
Well, if it is enforced, how does it, the significance of this, how does it change the playing field moving forward if, yes, there will be a watchdog?
They are playing, they're planning to, I think the sentences will range from 3 to 5 years in prison. And for one, if it is a high-ranking politician, going to jail for 3 to 5 years means basically you're going to miss at least one election cycle. Once you're out in one election cycle, it's hard to believe you're going to come back. The second one is that I believe that if you have, if the charges are pressed against you and you're a politician and the court decides that you are guilty, then basically in your record you have the fact that you were found guilty of a certain serious act. And according to our electoral law, people who have that in their record cannot run in any election. So it could be that if you are accused and if you are proven guilty of those charges, that you somehow denied genocide or glorified those criminals who perpetrated that act of horrible violence, the assumption is that those people will be removed from the political life. Now that's the assumption. We don't know. We'll see what happens. The other question is, at what level? Judicial system, at what level? Is it the canton? Is it the municipality? Is it the city? Is it the entity? Is it all of Bosnia-Herzegovina? And I'm assuming they will work at every level. But also depends on the interpretation of the code, legal code, or the law. They had to specify what deserves 3 years, what is 4 years, what is 5 years, and what happens with that person after the person is serves the sentence and joins the rest of us together and build this country, whether that particular sentence counts as the other criminal sentences that somehow prevent you from participating in political life in any way.
And it, not to dig into it too much, but it reminded me from back in 2018 when you attended a memorial service at Srebrenica, and I cannot remember her name, but she headed Mothers of Srebrenica, or what her, she had lost so many family members, and the derogatory remarks from one of the leadership from Republika Srpska, I believe it was. Would that fall under that category then, perhaps, with something like that?
Well, it is. It remains to be seen. I cannot believe that a law specified all the possible ways of denying genocide. Whether, and it is a question whether somebody making fun of your pain,
right,
or questioning whether something happened the way you describe it is an act of denying genocide. I don't know whether they expect only that those who say genocide never happened, whether that is that explicit statement would only qualify for that charge. I really don't know. I haven't had a chance to read the law. I would like to, but I doubt that any and every possible situation can be interpreted that way. There are many murals erected in several cities in or towns in Republika Srpska, glorifying general knowledge, or rather Karadžić, but mostly general knowledge, and his role in a genocide. Whether that is an example of genocide denial, but yes, it's not just then genocide denial, but also glorification of those who are accused in the court of law, in this particular case, in The Hague. And right now, and the indications are that all those murals or plaques or monuments that glorify those who committed those crimes and participated in the genocide, whether those who put up those murals or monuments will be responsible for genocide denial. Not sure, but certainly under the label of glorification of war criminals. So a lot of questions remain to be seen, honestly. Hard to know what the practice will bear and what political influence will be used by the international community on Bosnian politicians and the judicial system to do certain things or to not do certain things. So the only thing you can do is sit and wait. And the interesting thing is that Mr. Dodik, was it yesterday? I believe yesterday, went himself to what I call district attorney, but a person who is pressing charges on behalf of the state, and basically said, here I am, so that Bosniaks don't have to worry about turning me in or accusing me of anything or filing formal charges. Here I am. Do you think that I'm guilty of anything? So we'll see what is happening. He's trying to mock both the law itself, the high representative, Bosniaks, Bosnian institutions of the country, trying to mock that and demonstrate that he doesn't care and doesn't accept this particular law that Mr. Intkom enacted.
Well, a couple of quick ones. If you've got time, just go back to the town hall meetings and your conversations with businesses. And it was fascinating with the renewable energies and the company that you were talking to. What information, what are your takeaways from that? And what information is valuable to you in terms of crafting a message for the country based on these types of discussions?
Well, it seems to me, based on what I've heard thus far, that majority of of successful firms that I have had a privilege of visiting, or I should say all of them that I had a chance and privilege of visiting, all of them are doing everything according to the law, which is not true for most businesses that are trying to cut corners from not paying taxes or not giving you the receipt and therefore hiding the fact that the sale or transaction took place, whatever. These people follow all the rules, and they are simply saying the state, the country needs to work with us, needs to provide the powerful incentives. And in the United States, it is a norm to have the Chamber of Commerce, the City Council, to work with companies that, when sometimes to lure companies to come to Charlotte-Mecklenburg, to open a factory or something that will bring jobs. Sometimes those are tax incentives, sometimes is the land given to them, the county or city of land to give to those companies so they can build their facilities. Anyway, in some kind of motivation, incentives for those companies to come to Charlotte-Mecklenburg region and to start building a successful building that will bring jobs, that will bring in jobs. That doesn't happen here in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Often, they're actually putting up roadblocks to companies who would like to expand and purchase a new land and hire new people. So one thing is they're saying, come on, government, work with us. We are working for these people. We are in this together. Second one is that they all talk about the fact that about 70% of every dollar spent, or convertible mark in our case, spent on salary, out of that $1, 70 cents has to be given to the state, the country budgets, because for retirement system, for healthcare system. It is way expensive, way too expensive. It should be everybody saying 35, 36, 34 cents, not double, not 70. And they are saying, if you do that, we're going to have a chance of we'll be happy to give that money that we now don't have to pay to the state. We'll give that, we'll increase the salaries of our employees. Now, if we increase the salaries, they are less likely to go to Germany. They will stay here. They have more money to spend, and through the indirect tax system, through the sales tax, the state itself will have more money. So in the end, everybody benefits. Also, what becomes obvious is that wherever we go, people talk about corruption, people talk about the injustice. People talk about greed on the politicians. So it is very interesting that we are starting to see two different types of arguments. One type of argument is about the efficiency of the system, improving the economy, working with industry, creating the industry-government partnership, private-public partnership. And the other set of arguments talk about removing that injustice, whether it's everybody should have equal rights in any aspect, from voting to ability to be employed, but also corruption. They talk about corruption, need to eliminate it so that life can be as dignified and that people will not be able to bring their investments here. All of that is helping us to figure out the themes that we can work with for the elections, but also that we can point our advisory councils to, so that they can give us suggestions as to how to address those issues and what kind of remedies to suggest, so that people know for the 2020 elections in 2022, what it is that we will do if we, and when we get to assume power, as well as what are the people that we are recommending to take care of that.